For today's lesson, I would like to start by asking you a question. Why do you believe the Bible? There are several good answers to that question, so your answer might not be the same as the person who is sitting next to you, but it is important that we know why we believe the Bible, because people are going to ask us, and God wants us to be able to tell others why we believe the Bible. We are given that command in 1 Peter 3:15, which says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We need to know why we believe the Bible in order to convince others that they should believe the Bible. So let's look at some reasons why we should believe the Bible. And as I've been talking, I hope you have been thinking, why do you believe the Bible? Maybe you believe the Bible because of all the miracles that Jesus performed. In John 3 and verse 2, Nicodemus declared, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." In John 10, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Jesus performed all those miracles to prove that he had come from God. Another very powerful form of evidence is fulfilled prophecy. The Bible contains over 300 prophecies about the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled every one of them. And in addition, there are other prophecies that were fulfilled as well. While these are two very strong pieces of evidence, they're not going to convince everyone. If you're speaking to someone who does not believe the Bible, then using the Bible to prove the Bible isn't going to convince them. The record of miracles and prophecy will have no meaning for them. According to the Pew Research Center, as of the year 2024, 28% of Americans are either atheists, agnostics, or claim to have no religious affiliation. So, what evidence can we present to them? Well, another proof is to look at the wonders of creation and the complexity of nature. It defies imagination how people could look at this vast universe and the amazing life forms that we have here on Earth and then believe that all of this could just happen by chance. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Scientists believe that they can throw some chemicals together, add a power source, and create life out of inanimate matter. And they've tried to do this, but every attempt to do it has failed. And yet, they still believe that that is what happened. The theory of evolution requires billions of years for all the changes in living creatures to take place. Yet there is also evidence that the Earth is only thousands of years old, which would match up with the Bible record. There are a lot of books that we could use to help refute these false notions of science. There are ways that science can support the Bible. But those who believe those false notions are set in their ways, they're going to be very hard to convince. So today I'd like to look at one more piece of evidence. I'd like to examine the testimony of first century martyrs. There have been many martyrs down through the centuries, but I want to look specifically at those men and women who were eyewitness to the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did, and were willing to die for their faith. Webster's Online Dictionary defines a martyr as a person who voluntarily suffers death as the penalty of witnessing to and refusing to renounce a religion. In Matthew 10:39, Jesus said, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." That is the dilemma that many martyrs faced. Many times after they were arrested, they were given a choice. You could renounce Christ and live, or you could profess Christ and die. The historian Tacitus states that Nero threw Christians to the lions in the arena. Nero also covered other Christians in pitch and lit them on fire to illuminate his gardens. Those were both very horrible ways to die. So put yourself back in the first century. There were persecutions from the Jews. There were persecutions from the Romans. Would you have had enough faith to die for your faith? The martyrs of the first century were the best witnesses because they were eyewitnesses. And this is especially true of the apostles. As the Apostle John wrote in his first letter, he described how the apostles were eyewitnesses to all of the things that Jesus did. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. That says that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. John and the other apostles were with Jesus for over 3 years. They were eyewitnesses who saw how Jesus cured all manner of diseases. They saw that Jesus could raise the dead. They saw that Jesus was able to cast out demons. They saw Jesus walk on water and calm the storm. And they saw Jesus after he was risen from the dead. There was a time that their faith wavered, but after he was raised from the dead, their faith became very strong. And in the end, they were willing to die for that faith. We'll look at some statements from the Bible that describe these men, and then we'll look at some secular history that describes how these men and others of the first century gave their lives for their faith. For the secular records, I'm going to refer to Fox's Book of Martyrs. This book is not inspired, but it is generally accepted to be true. John Fox lived in the 16th century and was appalled by the persecutions of the Roman Church, so he began to delve into the history of the Church. Through very intense and thorough study, he compiled the secular records about martyrs into his Book of Martyrs. He covers martyrs from the 1st century to the 16th century, but I'll only be using the first two chapters, which describe martyrs of the early church. The word martyr is only used in two places. In Acts 22 and verse 20, as Paul was speaking to the mob of Jews that wanted to kill him, he described his conversion and spoke of his early life, saying, "When the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death." Now we know that John the Baptist and the apostle James also died for what they believed, but they were never called martyrs. But Stephen was the first one to be called a martyr in the Bible, and we'll see more about him in a moment. In Revelation 2:13, in the letter to the church at Pergamos, Jesus referred to Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was killed among you. Antipas was not mentioned in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Tradition says that Antipas was roasted alive in a hollow, life-sized bull, which had a bonfire under its belly. He died because he refused to renounce his faith in Jesus. So using the Bible in the first two chapters of Fox's Book of Martyrs, we'll look at some of the Christians who were willing to die for their faith And we'll start with the apostles. Simon Peter. In Matthew 16:30, Jesus asked his disciples who the people were saying that he was. People had said John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter who answered, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter understood that Jesus was the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for, and he understood that Jesus was the Son of God. In Matthew 26:34, Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. And Peter argued, saying, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. Peter thought that his faith was strong enough to die for Jesus. When a huge mob came with swords and clubs to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:51 tells us that Peter drew a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Peter was hopelessly outnumbered by that crowd, but he waded into the fight. He was willing to die for Jesus at that moment. But when Jesus told him to put away his sword, his faith was shaken. Verse 56 says that all the disciples forsook him and fled. It also says this was necessary to fulfill prophecy. Zechariah 13:7 says, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." We know that Peter denied the Lord three times that night. While his faith wavered on that occasion, it came back much stronger after Peter saw that Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus told Peter and gave him a glimpse of the death that he would suffer. In John 21, verses 18 and 19, it says, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. So here Jesus is indicating that Peter's hands would be stretched out, and this happened when he was crucified. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, Fox states that the Apostle Peter was crucified at Jerusalem. At Peter's request, he was crucified upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to die in the same manner that his Lord had died. Several of the so-called church fathers confirm that Peter was crucified upside down. Not only did Peter have being an eyewitness to make his faith so strong, he also had the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. The Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts 2 and verse 4. Peter died for his faith because he was an eyewitness who knew that what he believed was the truth. Andrew. Andrew was Peter's brother. Before being selected as apostles, the apostles had heard and seen Jesus. In John 1 and verse 35, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. He heard John declare that Jesus was the Lamb of God, so he went to Jesus. The next day, Andrew went and found his brother, Simon Peter, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought Peter to Jesus. Despite that faith, it appears that Peter and Andrew went back to their profession of fishing. Later, Jesus went to Galilee, and that is where Jesus found them in Matthew 4 and verse 18. When Jesus saw Peter and Andrew fishing for their boat, he called to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. There was no hesitation. They immediately gave up their profession to follow Jesus. According to Fox, Andrew preached to many nations in Asia. He was crucified at Edessa on a cross that was shaped like the letter X. Edessa was a city in what is now Turkey. Andrew died for his faith because he was an eyewitness who knew that what he believed was the truth. James was another fisherman. Right after calling Peter and Andrew, James came upon another boat with James, John, and their father Zebedee. In Matthew 4:21, he called them, and immediately they left the boat and left their father and followed Jesus. Again, there was no hesitation. They immediately gave up their profession to follow Jesus. In Matthew 17 and verse 1, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain, and Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and finally they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This incredible sight would have strengthened their faith immensely. In Acts chapter 12, Herod Antipas arrested the apostle James. According to Fox, this happened soon after Herod had been appointed governor of Judea. Being new, Herod wanted to gain the favor of the Jews, so he struck at the leadership of the Christians. Acts 12 and verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church." And in verse 2, he killed James with a sword. Also, according to Fox, a man named Clemens Andranius had told Herod about James, and that was the reason that James was arrested. But Clemens was so impressed by the extraordinary courage of the apostle James that as he was facing death, he fell down at the feet of James and begged for his forgiveness. He then declared himself to be a Christian. Now, we know that doesn't really make him a Christian, but that was enough for Herod, so James and Clemens were beheaded at the same time, about the year AD 44. James died for his faith because he was an eyewitness that knew that what he believed was the truth. John was not a martyr, but he almost was. John was the author of the Gospel of John. He was the brother of James the Apostle, and he was the other son of Zebedee. According to tradition, John is the only apostle who died a natural death. As we saw in Matthew 4:21, he followed Jesus as soon as Jesus called him. According to Fox, the Apostle John was taken from Ephesus to Rome, where he was cast into a cauldron of boiling oil. But by a miracle, he did not die. So he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. It was there that he wrote the book of Revelation. He was willing to become a martyr, but God had more work for him to do. Philip. We must be careful not to confuse Philip the Apostle with the Philip who was chosen in Acts chapter 6 to tend the Grecian widows. In John 1:43, Jesus told him, "Follow me," and he did. In John 1:44, the Bible says that the Apostle Philip was from Bethsaida, and we could use that fact to match this up with Fox's Book of Martyrs. In John 1:45, when Philip tried to convince Nathanael that Jesus was the promised one, Nathanael resisted. But Philip said, "Come and see." And by that simple statement, he was able to convince Nathanael to meet Jesus. According to Fox, the Philip who was from Bethsaida was scourged, thrown into prison, and then crucified at Hierapolis in Phrygia in AD 54. Philip died for his faith because he was an eyewitness who knew that what he believed was the truth. Bartholomew. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about Bartholomew except the four places where he is listed as an apostle. According to Fox, Bartholomew took the gospel to India and he was crucified there by idolaters. Bartholomew died for his faith because he was an eyewitness who knew that what he believed was the truth. The Apostle Thomas is called the twin in John 11:16. People sometimes call him Doubting Thomas because he did not believe the report of the Lord's resurrection. He was not present when the Lord appeared to the apostles in John 20 and verse 19. He said he would not believe unless he was able to put his finger into the hole where the nails had been driven and put his hand into the Lord's side. When Jesus appeared a second time with Thomas present, Thomas said at John 20 and verse 28, "My Lord and my God." While his faith may have been weakened by the death of Jesus, seeing the risen Lord made it strong again. According to Fox, Thomas preached the gospel in Parthia and India. He was thrust through with a spear by the pagan priests. Thomas died for his faith because he knew that what he believed was the truth. Matthew was the author of the Gospel of Matthew, which was written primarily to the Jews to get them to believe in Jesus. Matthew 10:3 tells us that Matthew was a tax collector. In Matthew 9:9, when Jesus said to him, "Follow me," Matthew left all that he had and followed Jesus. In Mark 2:14, he's also called Levi. According to Fox, the Apostle Matthew was killed with a halberd in the city of Nabada in AD 60. A halberd was a combination of a spear and an axe, and the city of Nadaba may have been in Ethiopia. Matthew died for his faith because he knew that what he believed was the truth. James, the son of Alphaeus. Not much is said about James, the son of Alphaeus. In Mark 15:40, there was a man named James the Less who was standing near the cross. This may have been the same man, but we don't know. He is not listed in Fox's Book of Martyrs, but other secular records indicate that he took the gospel to Persia and was martyred there. Lebbaeus was surnamed Thaddeus. He is also listed as Judas, the son of James. There's no other reference to him in the Bible. According to Fox, Thaddeus was crucified at Edessa in AD 72. Lebbaeus died for his faith because he knew that what he believed was the truth. Simon the Canaanite was also listed as Simon the Zealot. Nothing else is said about him in the Bible. According to Fox, the apostle Simon the Zealot preached the gospel in Africa and Britain, and he was crucified in Britain in AD 74. Simon the Zealot died for his faith because he knew that what he believed was the truth. Matthias was selected to replace Judas Iscariot in Acts chapter 1. To be considered, he needed to be a man who had been with Jesus from his baptism by John the Baptist until the day of his ascension. That qualified him to be an eyewitness. According to Fox, Matthias was stoned at Jerusalem and then beheaded. Matthias died for his faith because he was an eyewitness who knew that what he believed was the truth. We already mentioned Stephen. Stephen was one of the seven men selected in Acts chapter 6 to take care of the Grecian widows. Stephen gave a long sermon to some who had disputed with him. And in Acts 7:51, he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. And he went on to accuse them of killing the prophets and killing the just one, that is, the Messiah. So they got so angry that they dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. According to Fox, this was about AD 34. Stephen wasn't afraid to be blunt and tell the Jews exactly what they had done in killing the Messiah, and they killed him for it. After Stephen was martyred, Acts 8:1 tells us that a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. Fox tells us that about 2,000 Christians suffered martyrdom during the persecution that arose about Stephen. That is an amazing number. At that time, 2,000 Christians were willing to die for their faith. And I'm running out of time, so I'll just mention that Paul was another one who was willing to die for his faith. There were several of the names that we can recognize from the Bible that are mentioned, like Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Mark, and Luke. They also were listed as martyrs. And Pliny II wrote that there were thousands of innocent Christians put to death each day. And Polycarp made a famous quote that even though he was given the chance to renounce Christ and live, he chose to die. So for me, the testimony of martyrs is a very strong reason to believe that the Bible is true. We've looked mainly at those Christians who were eyewitnesses, but there were many more witnesses or martyrs down through the centuries. I hope that looking at the faith of these Christians who were willing to die for their faith has strengthened your faith. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed to our classes.